Elon Musk's bizarre Twitter takeover. Hi there, I'm Jeff, and this is Plain English, where JR and I help you upgrade your English with current events and trending topics. This is lesson 468, and that means you can find the full lesson content at plainenglish.com/468. Elon Musk is the world's richest man, according to Forbes magazine, which ranks the wealthiest people in the world. He runs several companies, has a massive social media presence, a lot of cultural influence, and now he has agreed to buy Twitter. In today's lesson, I'll tell you how this all came together. In the second half of today's lesson, I'll show you what it means to come up with something. We also have a quote of the week. Let's get started. The South Africa-born Elon Musk has been a technology entrepreneur for decades. He sold a software company for hundreds of millions of dollars in 1999. He was also one of the co-founders of PayPal, an online payments platform. When eBay bought PayPal in 2002, Musk got another big payout. He then went on to create three big companies, all of which he still controls. They are SpaceX, a private space flight company, Tesla, an electric car maker, and The Boring Company, which digs deep tunnels underground for trains and utilities. He also has a number of side projects. Twitter, we all know, is a social media platform that started in 2006. For a hot minute, it seemed like it might overtake Facebook, the dominant social media platform at the time. But it never got there. Although Twitter today has a lot of cultural influence, it isn't a big business by technology standards. As a company, it's only about 7% as valuable as Facebook. It also hasn't been able to find a way to grow its user base or monetize its traffic the way other platforms have done. TikTok, Snap, and Facebook all have more users. Twitter is a public company. Its shares are traded on the New York Stock Exchange. On April 4th, Elon Musk disclosed that he had accumulated about 9% of Twitter's stock by quietly buying up shares on the public market. This disclosure was required by law. When big investors accumulate lots of shares of public companies, they're required to disclose their ownership to the public. At the same time that they do that, these investors are required to say whether they're passive investors, just buying the stock to hold on to, or whether they want to influence the way the company is run in the future. Musk said that he was a passive investor. He only wanted to hold on to the shares. That may not have been a lie, but it was definitely not true. 9 days later, Musk agreed to serve on Twitter's board of directors, where he would have a significant say in how the company is run. But less than a week after that, Musk decided he didn't want to be on the board of directors after all. Twitter's CEO breathed a sigh of relief, saying it was for the better that Musk wouldn't be involved on the board. But just 4 days after that, Musk shocked the market. He said he wanted to take Twitter private. That means he, one person, wanted to buy the whole company. The total bill would be $43 billion. That's a lot, even for the world's richest person. In fact, it would be one of the biggest private takeovers in history. At first, it appeared that Musk wouldn't have enough cash to actually buy Twitter, since most of his wealth is in Tesla stock. Yes, he could, and did, get some money by selling a little Tesla stock. But he can only do so much of that. It wouldn't be a good idea to sell too much, since Tesla is what is really making Musk rich right now. Soon after he made the offer, then, it wasn't clear that he could really get enough money to back up his offer. And there's also something else. Musk is a bit eccentric. He often doesn't follow the traditional rules of business. And a lot of business people don't always know whether Elon Musk is being serious or whether he's trolling them. Twitter's board of directors didn't know what to think, so they tried some delaying tactics. But then Musk surprised Twitter and came up with the money. He backed up his offer with a detailed plan for how to pay for the company. Some of the money would be his personal cash, and some of it would be from bank loans. He had commitment letters from Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, and 6 other banks. These are major global lenders that don't joke around. The offer, it appeared, was real. Now, the ball was in Twitter's court. Twitter's board of directors represents all the shareholders, and the board had to decide whether to accept the offer or not. Before all the rumors started, the stock was trading at about $39 per share, well below Musk's offer of over $54 per share. At first glance, it appeared to be a good deal. All the non-Musk shareholders would get an instant profit of 38%. Twitter's board had a duty to consider an important question. Would the company be better off selling to Musk now, or should it try to raise its value with the current management and strategy? Well, they went with Musk. After a marathon Easter and Passover weekend of negotiations, Twitter and Musk struck a deal. It was Musk's number. So that means right now, Elon Musk is under contract to buy Twitter. He hasn't actually done so yet. These things take time, so the deal is expected to close in the fall. In the meantime, Twitter's board of directors and management are operating as normal, or as normally as possible, with the very awkward knowledge that the social media platform is about to change really soon. Didn't anyone else want Twitter? Twitter's board of directors was required to consider Elon Musk's offer, but the offer was very public. Another company could have offered the same or more. But who would that be? Other social media companies are under heavy criticism for being monopolies. Some governments want to break them up. So the other social media companies couldn't very well buy a big competitor and get even bigger. I thought maybe Microsoft might want to work this into LinkedIn, or maybe Salesforce could find some use for it. But in the end, there were no other offers. The fact is, Twitter is full of controversy, and no stable business wanted to take on all that controversy. In a future lesson, we'll talk about Elon Musk's vision for Twitter and how that might change social media for the better. But for now, we have an expression to talk about. And that English expression is come up with. This is a phrasal verb with a broad meaning, but we only use it at a specific time. Broadly speaking, come up with simply means to produce something or to get something. That's it. But we only use come up with when someone is under pressure to get that thing. One very common way to use this phrase is with money. Can you come up with the money? That means, can you find a way to get the money under pressure? For example, if someone asked me for $5, I could just reach in my pocket and hand it over. That's easy. No pressure. So I would not say come up with in that case because it's easy. But if someone kidnapped me and said I needed to produce $5,000 by the end of the day, Well, that's a different story. That's pressure, and it's not easy. I would need to come up with the money somehow. It wouldn't be easy, and I'd have to produce it under pressure. Elon Musk had to come up with a lot more than that. He offered to buy Twitter for $43 billion. Just one problem. He didn't have enough money in cash. The question on everyone's mind was this: would he be able to come up with the money? That means, would he be able to find enough money to deliver on his promise? Now, when you make an offer like this, you can't just wait around for a few months while you scrape together the money to back up your offer. You need to come up with the money relatively quickly, or nobody will take you seriously. And at first, people weren't taking Musk particularly seriously. But then, guess what he did? He came up with the money. He showed how much of his own cash he would put in, and then he got letters of credit from major Wall Street banks showing they would lend him the rest. He produced, under pressure, the money needed to buy Twitter. He came up with the money. Now, another way to use come up with is to talk about answers or solutions. One problem with technology in cars is that the technology is out of date soon after the car is sold. We live in an age where software is updated all the time. But if you buy a car today, the software running on the display screen is frozen in time for the entire life of the car. That's a problem. Tesla, Elon Musk's company, wanted to sell high-tech cars to high-tech people. They couldn't sell a car that would be obsolete in a few months' time. So Tesla came up with a great solution: over-the-air updates. That means Tesla would equip the car with a fixed set of cameras, sensors, and screens. Those wouldn't change over time. But the software that makes the car cool could be updated wirelessly all the time. And that means Tesla can continuously offer new features, not only on new cars, but also to existing owners as well. Tesla was under pressure to produce something, in this case, a solution, and they did it. The solution they came up with is very innovative. Have you watched a quiz show on TV? The most famous quiz show in America is Jeopardy. The host reads a clue, and the contestants have to come up with the answer quickly. There's pressure, there's urgency, and the contestants need to quickly come up with the answer, or I should say, the question, if you know the rules. Have you ever gotten to a meeting late? You might need to come up with an excuse. You walk in, the meeting has already started, the person speaking pauses, looks at you, and what? What do you say? You need to come up with an excuse. Oh, sorry, the copier was jammed. You wouldn't believe the traffic. I got stuck in the elevator. My pet was sick. You're under pressure to produce an explanation or an excuse for why you're late. Can you come up with a believable excuse in time? Oversleeping doesn't count. Every Monday, I select a quote of the week. It's often an English speaker, but not always. Today's is by the Brazilian author Paulo Coelho. He wrote one of JR's favorite books, The Alchemist. Here's the quote. When we strive to become better than we are, everything around us becomes better too. Well, that brings us to the end of today's Plain English audio lesson. This was lesson number 468. So the lesson continues at plainenglish.com/468. That's where you'll find today's step-by-step video lesson, the full transcript, listening exercises, flashcards, and more. plainenglish.com/468. We'll be back on Thursday with another great lesson. See you then.